there's ever a man that we need you to be, it would be a Daniel. The title of today's message is Dare to Be a Daniel. Many of us can remember that cute song. We sang it as kids. And while it is a fun song, in reality, Dare to Be a Daniel could very well be a motto that you would employ for the rest of your life. Stop talking and pay attention. I don't want to embarrass anyone by name. Dare to be a Daniel. You do understand that Daniel was about your age when he was carried out of Jerusalem and to Babylon. That he was jerked out of his home and out of his culture and out of his way from his friends and his peer groups and everything that he knew to be true. And he was carried away literally hundreds and hundreds of miles away into an entirely foreign culture. That he was immersed into a world that was utterly different from the world that he knew. He was given a new name, a new God, and he was told to be different. Boys, I want your eyes on me the entire time. I want you paying attention. I want you listening effectively. So where do we start with Daniel? What do we first know about Daniel? Well, verse number 8 of chapter 1 tells us in the ESV that Daniel resolved. I want you to write down the word purpose. I'm going to give you a series of P. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's meat. Now we're not worried about not defiling ourselves with meat. That really doesn't matter to us. We can have pork, we can have ham, we can have chicken, we can have beef. That's not the issue. But what we must not do is allow the world to defile us. And how do we not allow the world to defile us? It starts, Josh, with purposing in our heart not to let it. Everything begins with a commitment. Everything begins with a commitment. It begins with a commitment, first and foremost, that I will not be like everyone else. Daniel had a decision to make. He had a choice to make. He had to choose to be different. And I know we don't want to be different. In fact, we want to be loved more than anything else. We want to be worshipped more than anything else. We want everyone to notice us and adore us, and we want to be the most popular kids, and we cannot stand the idea of being different. And yet Daniel was more committed to his God than he was the peer group in Babylon. And that's the starting point for looking at who Daniel is and what makes him such an amazing young man. Is it starts with a commitment that I will be different. I will not defile myself in my relationship with my girlfriend. I will not defile myself on the internet. I will not defile myself with, and then you fill in the blank, marijuana. I will not defile myself, and you fill in the blank, alcohol. I will not defile myself with the porn every single night when mom and dad are in bed. I will not defile myself with myself. I will not. I will dare to be different. What's number 2? Well, there's a crisis. The king has a dream and he cannot get it interpreted. And he puts out an edict, if you will, that everyone, all the wise men, all the soothsayers, all the Chaldeans, all of them, every one of them are going to be executed if somebody doesn't tell me what my dream was and what it meant. And all the pagans say, nobody can do that. Nobody does that. Nobody can do this. That's not what we do. Instead, can you tell us the dream and then we'll tell you the interpretation? It's not in this case. No, in this case, you're going to actually tell me what I dreamt and the interpretation. And Daniel gets word of this, and he understands that his life is on his hands. And so he gets his buddies together, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and he tells them to pray. ourselves and pray. We've got to pray. I want to ask you right now, you claim to be a Christian. You say that you're a Christian. Someone says to you, are you going to hell? You would say, no, not me. I'm a Christian. I want to ask you, when was the last time you got any of your friends together and prayed? I want to ask you, when was the last time you got any of your friends together? When was the last time three of you got together and prayed? When was the last time in the academy you said, there's a crisis in my home, and would you pray, and would you pray, and would you pray? I'm not talking about when we have a little prayer time in the beginning of class, everyone gives a little request. I'm talking about where you, as a young person, took the initiative and said, could you and you and you get with me and could we pray right now? Can anyone in Berean remember the last time four students got together in a hallway and prayed? Are there teachers that would tell me, Pastor Sean, you just don't see it. It happens all the time. It happens in the chapel. It happens all the time. You just are missing it. I'm not talking about organized prayer. I'm not talking about before the ballgame or after the ballgame, coordinated by any of the coaches. I'm talking about spontaneous prayer when someone says, you need to know what's going on in my house. It is miserable right now. Could we get together and pray about it right now? And yet all of us stop whispering. All of us say we're Christians. Minus a few exchange students who are absolutely convinced there isn't a God. You think I don't know that? I know you don't think there's a God. I know that. I know that. I'm just praying that God will bust your heart wide open and show Himself to you. Now, I'm not playing a game here and acting like we're all Christians. I'm well aware that you don't think there's a God. And that you're just here to learn English. And the reason you're here is to hear the gospel. So number two was, he told his friends to pray for God for mercy to be able to interpret the dream. And when God did provide the answer, the next thing we see in chapter number two of Daniel is that he praised God. He said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever. To whom belongs wisdom and might. He changes the times and seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise, knowledge to those of understanding. He reveals the deep and hidden things. He knows what is in the darkness. And the light dwells with him. To you, O God, my fathers, I give thanks and praise, for you have given me wisdom and might. I want to know, do you praise God? I'm not talking about singing. I'm not talking about when everyone else is singing, you sing. I want to know what's in your heart. In your heart. I'm not talking about going through the motions. Anybody can go through the motions. I know what going through the motions looks like. I did it as a teenager. I want to know, Daniel, do you really, David, praise God? I'm not talking about singing when everyone else is singing. When was the last time you authentically and genuinely gave God some praise? Do you think you're too young? Daniel was a young man, just like you, Jonah, a young man, just like you. He was at that age. Jack, he was your age. When was the last time you can say, Pastor Sean, I authentically and genuinely gave God praise? Do you know why you don't? Do you know why you don't give God praise? Do you know why you don't? Do you have a deliberate reason why you don't? Why is it that you don't give God praise? Do you not understand what He has done for you? Do you not recognize that if you're born again today, that God has grabbed you from hell and delivered you out of the darkness into the kingdom of light? Do you not realize that God has done a marvelous thing for you? That you could have been born in Afghanistan and been on your way to hell with no hope of ever being redeemed? That you would not have heard the gospel one single time in your entire life? Isn't God worth a little praise? Is there anyone that could give it up for Jesus right now? One amen. A school full of people who think that they're born again, and we get one amen. Do you know why? Because there's another God in this room. Who is that God? It is the God of peer pressure. May the God of peer pressure go to hell. Go to hell. Don't ever come back, demon of peer pressure. The demon of peer pressure interferes with you. And I can only be so cool and just enough. I'm not going to do too much because if I do too much, they might not like me. And I see it and you see it and you know what I'm talking about. That left and right looking. Is it too much? Is it just enough? Not Daniel. Number four. Do you know that Daniel was promoted? Do you know that Daniel was promoted in a pagan world? Do you know that our God is so sovereign that even in a pagan world, He knows who His people are and He can promote them through the ranks? Do you know that our God can reward people for their praise and for their prayers and for their purposing in their hearts? Do you know that our God can say, that's my Daniel down there, and he's purposed to serve me. He prays to me all the time. I hear him praising me, and give that man a promotion. You know what all of you want? You all want promotions. Even you that are pagans want promotions. Every one of you. You know why you're here learning English? So you can go back home and make more money. So you know what you want? You want a promotion. That's what you want. There ain't a person here that doesn't want to get promoted. All of you dream of making lots of money. Bored out of your minds. You're going to remember this sermon in hell. I'm not playing games today. Your future's at stake. Let's move on to chapter number 6. I'm assigned chapter 9, so I need to move on. Chapter 6. I wanted to start in the beginning because I wanted to show you that the prayer in 9 came from a pattern of prayer. It didn't just come out of nowhere. It came from a pattern of prayer. It isn't like Pastor Bill, he woke up one day and started this amazing prayer in chapter 9. The reality is Daniel had been praying already. He prayed in chapter 1. He prayed in chapter 2. He prayed in chapter 6. Prayer was a part of Daniel's life. It wasn't just something he did every now and then. So you know the story in chapter 6, or I hope you know the story. If you don't, smack yourself because you're just about ignorant. Grew up in a Christian school and don't know the story of Daniel chapter 6. You remember this? No praying to anybody but the king. No praying to anybody but the king. Would you sign a law? Yeah, we'll sign a law. Was it 30 days? I believe it was 30 days. No praying to anybody. Some of you, you'd be okay with that. You don't pray to God anyway in 30 days. Other than the time, brother, when they hadn't studied for the test. And now they're looking for a miracle. Okay? Then they're going up, Lord God, if there's a God in heaven, would you answer this one? Am I wrong? Tell me I'm wrong. Preacher, you're wrong. I pray all the time, consistently. Not just those emergency 911 prayers. Am I wrong? You know what? Some of you atheists in here, why don't you start praying, God, if you're real, show me if you're alive. Why don't you put God to the test? I'm talking. Why don't you pray, God, if you're there, I want to know you. My Bible tells me that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Amen. That's what my Bible tells me. So if you're on the fence right now, why don't you start praying? God, are you there? So Daniel in chapter number 6, there's an edict that goes out that he can't pray. And so I understand that Daniel's prayer life brought persecution. Daniel's prayer life brought persecution. Daniel's prayer life brought persecution. Now here's the reality. Here's the reality. You're not going to get thrown into the lion's den for praying. That's not going to happen to you. Worst case scenario is you lose some cool points. That's it. That's all. You just lose some cool points. Man, I thought he was cool. Look at him over there praying. He thinks he's one of those holy, roly, foley, coley kind of guys. He's not one of us. And not one of you are leader enough to take the initiative. Isn't that something? The safest zone in the world to pray is called Berean Baptist Academy and Church, and you don't even pray here. Daniel's in Babylon, and there's an edict that's issued out. If you pray any time in the next 30 days to anybody but the king, you will be thrown in a lion's den. So I wonder what Daniel does. God, I need a break for 30 days. No, it says in verse number 10 of chapter number 6 in my Bible, it says, when Daniel knew the document had been signed, he went to his house where his windows opened in his upper chamber toward Jerusalem. He got down on his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he had done, notice please, previously. What a new thing for Daniel. Just doing the same thing I've been doing 3 times a day. I go to my God and I pray and I give Him what? Thanks. Is there anybody in the student body that could give God thanks for anything right now? Well, do it.
Thank Jesus.
For? Jonah gives Jesus thanks for his salvation. Is there another one that could give thanks to God for anything? Stephen, give God some thanks. All right. Is there another one? China. Out of the hospital again. Is there another one? Jonathan. For letting you be adopted. Glory to God. Cole. Live in America. Natalie. For your parents that actually love you. Glory to God. Sam. For being alive. Amen. When was the last time you can say, I gave God some thanks? Was it 2 hours ago? Was it 3 hours ago? Was it 4 hours ago? Was it today? Have you given God thanks for anything today? Was it in the last 7 days? Ask yourself right now. Let's be even more real. Take your pen right now and write down the hours or the day since the last time you gave God some thanks on your own initiative. Was it today? Was it yesterday? Was it within the week? Was it an hour ago? Think right now. How long ago was it? I'm not talking about mommy leading us in prayer for breakfast. I'm talking about where you authentically paused and said, God, I just want to thank you for hearing and answering. And then you finish it. Was it a day ago? Koreans, do you give God thanks? Chinese, do you give God thanks? Italians, do you give God thanks? Germans, do you give God thanks? Is there anybody that gives God thanks? Well, man, if I start giving God thanks and I start working like this, I may suffer persecution. You're right. So point number 3 is Daniel persevered through persecution. Persevered. Let me spell that for you. P-E-R-S-E-V-E-R-E-D. He persevered through persecution. Daniel persevered through persecution. A night in the lion's den when David, Daniel, in the lion's den, in the lion's den. You say you believe that cockamamie story. You better believe I do. Yes, sirree, Bob, I believe that story. You believe that story? Yes, I believe that story. I would not be here if I didn't. Sarah, I believe with all my heart there's a Daniel. I believe with all my heart there was a den. I believe with all my heart there was lions. And I believe with all my heart God sent a holy angel to shut the lions' mouths. In fact, I believe we're going to be able to meet that Daniel and talk about that night in the lion's den in heaven. You have a question? The second one. Let's get the second one down. Daniel makes prayers and pleas before his God. Prayers and pleas. Number three is that he persevered through persecution. Number four is that a pagan king praised God. A pagan king. Pastor David, a pagan king. It's the most marvelous thing in the world. Tito, the next morning, the king gets out of bed bright and early, runs to the lion's den, and before he even gets there, Daniel, are you there? And he says, oh, king, live forever. And the man goes, glory to God. But it doesn't stop then. He issues out a declaration to all the members of the kingdom. He sends out a mass email to everybody on his distro list. Every Facebook friend he had got a notification that there's a God in heaven who hears and answers prayers. You mean to say that a saved man can impact a pagan? The answer is yes. Glory to God. You say, I don't see that in my Bible. Look in chapter number 6, verse 26. I make a decree that in all my royal people are to tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. He is the living God. He endures forever. His kingdom shall never be destroyed. His dominion shall be to an end. He delivers and rescues. He works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth. He has saved Daniel from the power of the lion's den. You know what happened? A pagan king praised God because of Daniel's prayer life. Let me say that again so you get that. Let me say it one more time. A pagan king praised God because of Daniel's prayer life. That'll preach. Number five. Can you believe? Look at verse number 28. And so this Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius. So I wrote down in my notes, Daniel prospered during the reign of pagan Darius. You can go to work for an unsaved man and prosper. You know that? You can go to work for an unsaved man and prosper. You can go to work in a baseball team. You can be on a traveling baseball team with a bunch of pagans and be praying for them. And you can prosper amongst pagans on a travel ball team if you do it to the glory of God. Tito's going to play travel ball. Brandon's going to travel ball. Imagine if they, Pastor David, they got all the members of the team's names and they prayed for their salvation every single day. You man up for that kind of a challenge? Get the names of the teams, put them on a 3x5 card, and every single day, God save Mike, God save Tom, God save Jim Bob, or whatever their name is. You got any Jim Bobs on your team? No Jim Bobs. That's unfortunate. That's a good name. Many of you ladies need to think about Jim Bob as a name. It's actually James Robert, and then you just call him Jim Bob. Number 9, chapter 9. Are we ready? We're in chapter 9 now. This is the text that Mr. Farmer assigned me, so now I'm going to get into my sermon. In the first year of Darius, the son of... How do you say that? Come on, some of y'all, you know how to pronounce that stuff. Yeah, that's good. Why'd they have such hard names back then? Do you have any idea why they had such hard names back then? What about Smith? How about, couldn't they have Smith? There's not a single Smith in the entire Old Testament. Do you know that? Not one. Or May. May would work. I could do May all the time, every day. Right? In the first year of Darius, the son of May. See how smoothly that went off? Like I knew how to pronounce it. By descent of a Mede, who was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, perceived in the books of the numbers of years that according to the word of the Lord to Jeremiah, what's Daniel doing? Holy cow, Daniel's reading his Bible. Do you see that? What book's he reading? He's reading the same Jeremiah you have. Do you know that? Daniel's reading the same Jeremiah you're reading. Imagine that. About, let me do the math here, maybe 2,700 years ago, Daniel's reading Jeremiah just like Sister you read Jeremiah. Or maybe you don't read your Bible. Remember that spot where you wrote down in your notes where it says thanks? Would you write down the last time you read your Bible on your own accord? I don't mean in chapel. I don't mean in Bible class. I mean where you just sat down and opened up the Word of God and said, God Almighty, this is your book. Would you feed me this morning? Was it this week or was it last week? Was it today or was it yesterday? I'm not talking about when you did it in chapel. I mean when you did some personal devos on your own. When did you do that? When did you do that? You say, I don't do that because I don't believe your stupid God exists. Why don't you do something for 30 days? Why don't you take a 30-day challenge and say, you know what? I'm going to read this book every day. I'm going to pray to that God and see if He's real. Hello? I'm talking to the atheists. Let's not pretend that we don't have atheists. I know we have atheists. You don't believe there's a God. You think this is bunk. You're here to learn English. By the way, how many of you students are praying for their salvation? Could I ask that question one more time? Would that be all right, Mr. Farmer? Could I ask that question one more time? How many of you are you praying that the atheist would find Jesus in Berean Baptist Church or Academy? Because you're there. Right? We know you're atheist. We know you don't believe in our God. We know that. And yet we believe that this book is a powerful two-edged sword able to pierce into your heart. So why don't we get something going on here for the next 30 days? You'll pray to God, are you real, and read His book. And we'll pray for you as you're reading His book. Or take your chances on hell. It's only eternity. Are we in chapter 9? All right. Verse 3. Then I turned my face to the Lord God, seeking Him by prayer and pleas for mercy with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession, saying, Oh, the Lord. So number 2 is Daniel praised God for all His glorious attributes. He just praised God. He praised God for all His glorious attributes. He said, you're great and you're awesome and you're incredible and you keep covenant and you have steadfast love and you are righteous and you're merciful and you forgive sin and you've got an amazing hand and you answer prayer. And I just want to give you some praise right now. Just give God a little praise. Anybody got some praise for God? Anybody in the middle school got a little praise for God? Give God some praise right now if you're in the middle school. How is it that we have 100 students in the middle school who all think they're saved, and when the preacher says, give God some praise, it falls flat? How can that be? Are you really saved? Are you really saved? Are you really? Is there anybody saved in the middle school? Let's start with that one. Is there anybody saved in the middle school? All right, let's do it like this. Stand up if you're saved in the middle school. Wow. All right, now remain standing if you gave God some praise. Remain standing if you gave God some praise. Well, I didn't hear you. It must have been silent praise. Must have been silent praise because I didn't hear anything. Let me ask you a question. Be seated. Do you think that others heard Daniel give praise to God? Or do you think he kept it all inside so nobody knew? Could I get an answer, please? So is there anybody on this side of the church that can give God some praise? I know we looked. Look at those strange ones over there. Is there anybody over here that could praise God for one of his attributes and actually say what you're going to praise? Josh, what are you praising God for? I can't hear you. I want to know what you're praising God about God, not the stuff that you own. If you look at Daniel's prayers, he didn't praise God for his car and his sister and his PS3. He praised God for being righteous. He praised God for being sovereign. He praised God for having a mighty hand. Mr. Hazlett, tell me something, please. A God who provides. I'll work with that one. Kaniza, tell me something else, please. A forgiving God. Can I get one more, Ms. Walzer? A God who suffers for sin. A God who has unconditional love. Sam. A God who saves. Daniel, yes, sir. Isn't Daniel right? A God who forgives for sins. Amen. Is there a high school student that could do a little bit better and be a little bit more specific? Danny, could I hear some praise for God? Omnipresent God. Can I get some more? A God who is gracious. Jonah. A praise God for a God who doesn't crush us like a cockroach every time we sin. Brandon. A just God. Kenny. A benevolent. What a good word. A benevolent word. Now we're actually using words that we learned. Glory to God. Like Daniel. Finish this up, brother. A sovereign God. Number three. I have no idea what time I'm supposed to be done, so I'm just going to finish my outline. Is that okay, Mr. Farmer? Number three, Daniel professed before God Israel's national sins and Daniel's personal sin. He said, where'd you get that from? He made confession right there in verse number four. He made confession, but wait a minute. Verse number 20, while I was speaking and praying, confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel and presenting my plea before the Lord God. Do you have any idea how freeing it is to confess sin? I said, do you have any idea how freeing it is to confess sin? Would you like to have an amazing marriage? There's eight of you. You would like to also? You'd like to have an amazing marriage. You'd like to have an amazing marriage. How many of you want to have a marriage as miserable as your mom and dad's? You say, what are you talking about? I saw it. I lived it. Three moms. I know what it is. I lived it. I've been there. Eighth grade, Lansing, Michigan. Crying every night. Oh, you were a little wuss. I was crying just like you cry. Because my family was so dysfunctional. My mom was in Boston. My brother was in Boston. I was living with stepmom. Always felt like I was the backseat. Always. Anybody else besides me? Is there anybody else that can nod their head and say, Pastor Sean, I know what you're thinking about. I know what you're talking about. Anybody else, or am I the only one? And you know what? I said to myself over and over again, I want a different marriage. I said to myself 100 times growing, I will not divorce. I will not divorce. I said, there's no way I'm divorcing. I hate divorce. Divorce sucks. Give me a demerit for saying that. I hated it. I struggled with it. If you've got two parents that love Jesus and your home isn't dysfunctional, you ought to give God glory every day for that. if you've got two parents that love each other, I mean genuinely, truly love each other, and they're both your biological parents, you ought to get down every single day on your knees before God and just say, God, if there's one thing I'm thankful for, it's that I got a mom and dad who live in the same house and they love each other. Thank you, Jesus. You take it for granted. You have no idea how miserable it is to live in some of these dysfunctional homes. Some of your peers have moms and dads that never sleep in the same bed. Never. And I'm sorry for you. I'm sorry for how dysfunctional it is for you. And I would say to you, take all that dysfunctionalness and determine to be a Daniel. Take every bit of that, ball it up with every ounce of determination you have and say, we will be different. You say, now, Pastor Sean, I'm not making the connection. Let me make the connection for you then. Because I thought we were talking about confession sin. We are. Let me tell you how I have an amazing marriage. Get off your arrogant pedestal and confess to your spouse, I am a sinner. Please forgive me. Could I say it to this side over here one more time? If you'd like to have a glorious marriage, if you want an amazing marriage that just lasts forever, you want a marriage that's an example of marriage. When you sin, get off your arrogant pedestal, get down off that thing, look to your little cutie pie, sweetie, whatever you call her, darling, let me tell you something. I'm so sorry you married a sinner. Please forgive me. I was rude. I was selfish. I was arrogant. I was thoughtless. Would you please forgive me? Leroy, you're not paying attention. I need you to pay attention. And you know what you do after that? You say, honey, of course I forgive you. Because the Lord Jesus Christ forgave me of all my sins. It's the least I can do to give you that forgiveness right back. Over and over and over and over and over again. Over and over and over and over again. Some of you have got some sin that you have not confessed. You've sinned against people and you've not confessed it. And the Holy Spirit is wearing you out. I'm talking about wearing you out. You've got some secret sins going on and you are just about miserable. You're irritable, you're difficult, you're miserable. And the reason you're so miserable is because you have not confessed your sin. And you prayed and you asked Jesus to forgive you, but you have not confessed it to the person you sinned against. And because you've not confessed it to the person you sinned against, you haven't been freed of it. Where's my buddy Amos? I could have just prayed to Jesus, Lord, forgive me for calling Amos stupid, amen, and be done with it. But that doesn't cut it. You know why that doesn't cut it? Because I sinned against Amos. And when, brother, you sin against someone, you've got to confess your sin to the person you sinned against. It's not enough just to go in your little private prayer closet, whoop, going to get it off the check, whoop. Jesus, forgive me of all my sins. No, no, no. That's not what Daniel does. Daniel names sins by name. By name. But that's too embarrassing. That's why you have to get off your arrogant high stool, get down and humble yourself, look the person in the eye and say, I am so sorry for being so rude to you, so selfish to you, so arrogant to you. Would you please forgive me? But when I do that, they're going to think I'm a wuss. Let them think what they want. You don't care about what they think. You care about what the God in heaven thinks. That's who you care about. That's who you care about. Stop looking at the clock and look at me, brother. You're a sinner.
got anybody not sinning? Because I'm the number one sinner. Seem like hardly a sermon goes down around here where I ain't having to confess sin. Routine business around here. I'm getting old, man. Should we move on? Number four, right? I want you to look at verse 12 and 13, please. Verse 12 says that God has confirmed His words which He spoke against us and against our rulers and who ruled against us by bringing upon us great calamity. For under the whole heaven there has not been anything like what has been done against Jerusalem. As is written in the law of Moses, all this calamity has come upon us, yet we have not entreated the favor of the Lord our God. I don't know if He's talking about Jerusalem or America in the year 2016. I don't know which one. I was talking to my brother Scott. Scott lives up in Massachusetts. And he says, brother, you know you guys are in the news every day up here. And I said, yes, I know we're in the news. He said, you know what you're in the news for? I said, yes, brother, I know what we're in the news for. I said, we're a bunch of backwoods fundamentalists who have some bizarre idea. We just want boys to go to boys' rooms and girls to go to girls' rooms. He said, up here in Massachusetts, it's not like that. We let them go in whatever bathroom they want to go in. I said, well, down here in North Carolina, we're still trying to stick to the differences between boys and girls. He said, what do you think's going to happen? How's God going to judge America? I said, Scott, let me tell you how God's going to judge America. I said, God forbid, but the first little girl who gets raped in a bathroom where there's a pedophile in there, molested in the bathroom when there's a boy in there that shouldn't be in there. You know what that is? That's God's judgment upon America. That's what that is. You say, where do you get that from? The word is calamity. 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 That's the word. You know what it's about? It's wrath. It's punishment. It's judgment. Calamity can be a hurricane. Calamity can be planes flying into the Twin Towers in New York City. Calamity can be people crossing the borders with weapons. Calamity can be bombs being snuck in. Calamity is God's judgment on a nation. Does anybody know who the calamity was and who was the instrument of this calamity in this exact situation? Is there one student for a Mountain Dew who knows who it is? Yes, sir. Who? It is the Babylonians. You are exactly correct, brother. See me after chapel. 12 ounces of liquid goodness. And it's going to be cold. Not this water here. I'm talking about sugar, caffeine, citrus, all mixed together. Artery choking beverage. Guaranteed to drop months off your life. Yep. You don't drink it, do you, brother? Oh, you do? Fully known all that you know?
Yes, sir.
Wow. Ah, there we go. That makes it better. Number five. Say, I'd like you to look in verse 16 and 17, please. Would you please look in 16 and 17? Now, this is really going to get cool because Daniel proclaimed the doctrine of, and you're going to have to write this down now, propitiation. All right, here it comes. P-R-O-P-I-T-I-A-T-I-O-N. Propitiation. Propitiation. 1 John 2:2. Propitiation. What in the world? Big word, propitiation. Let me show you what it means. O Lord, according to all your righteous acts, let your anger and your wrath be turned away from your city, Jerusalem. Do you see it right there? You know what Daniel says? Daniel knows that sometimes God turns His wrath. Turns His wrath. Turns His wrath. Do you know that if enough Christians in America would all call out to God at the same time, that there's a chance He might turn some wrath away from America? If enough of us said, Lord God Almighty, we don't care what Target does. We're going to go to the boys' room because it's the boys' room, and we're going to go to the girls' room because it's the girls' room. Dear God, forgive us as a nation for our confusion on who boys are and who girls are. I was talking to a young man the other day. Please listen to this story. And he works in one of the elite units in the Army. One of the elite units in the Army. And he said that in that elite unit in the Army, listen to me, please, that there are boys that are kissing boys in that elite unit in the Army. And I said to him, I said, how in the world do those soldiers react to that? And he said, the senior leaders, it makes them sick. But the soldiers, they don't mind. He said, the senior leaders, Brother Knox, it makes them sick. That's my generation, the senior leaders. That's old. But the young ones, they're okay with it. Most of you are okay with it. You really don't mind too bad. It doesn't really make you sick. It doesn't make you vomit. It doesn't make you puke. You don't think that's disgusting. That's repulsive. You don't think God created us to be distinct and different, that God made males and God made females, and that they're not supposed to cross those lines. You don't mind. As long as it doesn't affect you, you're okay with it. Satan has sold a lie to the young people in America. They're okay with it. Let me just tell you right now, it makes me sick. I believe that every single male ought to find himself a cutie and marry him. I believe every single cutie ought to let a male date him, court him, and then they ought to get married and they ought to live together in holy matrimony for the rest of the days of their life. And I believe that's God's plan. Is there anybody that can say amen?
Amen.
Anybody at all can say amen. That's God's plan. That's God's plan. So number five was he proclaimed the doctrine of propitiation, the fact that God sometimes will turn his wrath away from his people. Number six is that Daniel presented pleas for God's mercy. I got that from verse number 18. Let me read it. Oh my God, incline your ear and hear, open your eyes and see our desolations and the city that has fallen for your name. For we do not present our pleas before you because of our righteousness, but because of your great mercy. Every one of you, we need to be praying that God would have mercy upon us. Number seven. Number seven. I'm in verse 21. Do you know that the Bible says that God sent Gabriel the angel to answer Daniel's prayer? While I was speaking and praying, confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting, I'm reading verse number 20 of chapter number 9. While I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my plea before the Lord God, my God, for the holy hill of my God. What's that holy hill? Someone tell me, what's that holy hill? It's Jerusalem. It's Mount Zion. That's right. While I was speaking in prayer, he was in the middle of his prayer time. The man, Gabriel, who I'd seen in the vision at the first, he came to me in swift flight at the time of the evening sacrifice. Wow! This is uber bizarre. Maybe you don't believe this is true. Maybe you don't believe this is true. I do. I believe it's true. The Bible says that in the middle of his prayer, he got interrupted by the angel Gabriel, who was sent by God in swift fashion to give him an answer. Now, Josh, tell me, I would probably wet my pants if I was inside my house with the doors locked and the alarm turned on, and Brother Knox, I was praying, and I looked up, and there was Gabriel sitting in my living room. Now, you just talk about rocking your world. Can you imagine for a moment? It's a good thing he'd seen him before in a vision. You know what my point is? There is a God in heaven who hears and answers prayers. And you know what? You never know when God's sending someone to hear and answer your prayer. Whether it's an angel, whether it's another person, you never know. In this case, God sent Daniel Gabriel. Sent him Gabriel. So number seven was God provided an answer to Daniel's prayer. God sends an angel with a message. And now I want to wrap it up with number eight. All right, here we go. Wrapping it up. Where are you at, Pastor Sean? Let's look at verse 24. Now, you might want to write a margin note in your Bible here to remember this, because it's not as clear as it is in other places. 70 weeks are decreed about your people and your holy city to finish the transgression and to put an end to sin and to atone for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness. Right here in the margin of my Bible, I have angel proclaims the gospel. I have angel proclaims the gospel. Well, I don't see the word gospel. Wait a minute. Do you see the word atone? Do you see the word atone? Does everyone see the word atone? Now, what does it mean to atone for sin? It means to pay for sin. It means to make atonement. It means to redeem. It means to buy. It means to purchase. It means to reconcile. Wait a minute. To atone for iniquity. Iniquity is another word for what? For sin, isn't it? And to bring in what? What's he going to bring in? Everlasting righteousness. Who is Gabriel talking about? Who is the one that atones for sin? Who is the one that brings in everlasting righteousness? Somebody in the middle school, tell me, who is it? It is Jesus. Wait a minute, I don't see any references to Jesus. Hold on, please. Look at verse 25. Know therefore and understand that from the going out of the word to restore and build up Jerusalem to the coming of, notice please, the anointed one. You know what I wrote down in my Bible next to the anointed one? I wrote down Messiah. That's the Messiah. You know what this is? This is a prophecy by the angel Gabriel 490 years, or maybe 483 years before Jesus is coming, that God is going to send his son to atone for sin. Now, what do you think, Jonah, about a God who sends an angel 490 years beforehand to announce the coming of the Messiah? Sovereign. Sovereign. Now please don't miss this, because we had that word propitiation. Do you remember that propitiation word? Propitiation. So Daniel understood that there is a God in heaven who is merciful, who is gracious, who is loving, who is compassionate, who is tender, and sometimes he turns his wrath away. And God said, to you, Daniel, will the revelation of the coming Messiah be made? And God said, Gabriel, get down there and tell him about the gospel. Tell him I'm going to send a Messiah. Tell him that the Messiah is going to atone for sin. Tell him that the Messiah is going to bring an end to sin. Tell him the Messiah is going to bring in an everlasting kingdom. So the first thing I gave you was, I wrote down, I said, Gabriel proclaimed the gospel. Or wait a minute, hold on. There could be something else we could write down. We could also write down, Gabriel promised rescue. Promised. He promised rescue. Where are you getting the word rescue? I'm getting the rescue with the words atonement and everlasting righteousness. Do you see it there? 490 years before the event, God said, I have a plan of rescue. I'm not sending special forces. I'm not sending Delta down there. I'm not sending the Rangers down there. I'm not sending Marines down there. Of course he wouldn't say Marines. I'm not sending them down there. Nope. No FBI, no CIA. I'm going to send my son to rescue them. My son's going to deliver them from wrath. My son's going to take their payment.
My son is going to do it. Matthew 1:21. 9th and 10th grade in Matthew 1:21. Call him Jesus. Why? Because he shall save them from their sins. Do you know that he didn't create the potential for you to be saved? He saved you. He didn't create the opportunity. He did it. Do you know that for all practical purposes, when he said, "It is finished," you were saved. It's done. What do I have to do? Just believe the promise. That's it. Just believe it. It's done. The payment was made, brother. The payment was made. It's not made now. It's been made. It's been made. Saved. Jesus said on the cross, "It is finished." It's finished. It's finished. Has he made the payment for you? Has he made the payment for you? Has he made the payment for you? Are you part of his elect? Has he made the payment for you? Has he made the payment for you? Christ died for you, for you, for you, her for you. Has he made the payment for you? China, has he made the payment for you? Do you understand that his wrath turned from me to his son? Now surely, when we get together in that next section, you can sing with all your heart. Surely you've got something to praise God about when we get to that next session. Surely the fact that you have been rescued is enough to give God some glory. Song leader ought to be able to, Debbie ought to be able to get there. What's her name? Sylvester ought to be able to get there and say, "Give it up for Jesus." Now, I can't imagine her saying that, but let's just say for a moment, with all her Bob Jones in her, she said, "Give it up for Jesus." And the student body said, "We'll give it up for Jesus." Forget about your peers and praise God the next time we sing. Let's pray. Lord God Almighty, we confess that America is a selfish nation. God, we confess that we are materialistic, greedy, selfish, lazy, inconsiderate, often rude, heartless, senseless people. We confess, O God, that as a nation we have lost our way. We confess, O God, that we often lose self-control like I did with Amos. We confess, O God, that our mouths often get ahead of us before our minds kick in and think. We confess, O God, that we have lost our way when it comes to sexual sins, that we no longer understand gender distinctions. We confess, O God, that our Supreme Court is full of justices that have virtually lost their minds. We confess, O God, that our Senate and our House of Representatives needs redemption. We confess, O God, that our White House needs salvation. We confess, O God, that our governors need to be saved. We confess, O God, that preachers all across America need to be saved. We confess, O God, that our public school system has gone to hell for all practical purposes, dear God, save for a few Christian teachers that are trying to hold the line inside a very dark world. We confess that our student body is sexually active, dear God, that they routinely violate your law when it comes to sexual practices. And we ask you, God, to forgive us for having such an actively sexual, promiscuous student body. We pray, God, that they would repent right now. We pray, God, that those that are sexually active would confess their sin privately right now to you one more time. We pray, God, that our peer pressure, God, would be chased out of the building and eradicated, that the demon of peer pressure would be squashed like a cockroach. We confess to you, O God, our apathy in our sports programs, that we're not willing to work hard to be excellent, that we are lazy, and we want excellence to come easy without having to work hard. We confess the laziness of our soccer teams. We confess the laziness of our basketball teams. We confess the laziness of our baseball teams. We confess the fact that our baseball players won't pick up a baseball or a bat or a glove for the next 9 months and then wonder why they're not as good as they were. We confess, O God, the fact that we don't pray enough.
We confess the fact that we go to sleep in class, but we stay up at night watching stupid things on YouTube. We confess, oh God, that we don't know our Bibles. That we don't know our Bibles. We confess, oh God, that we don't really have a grasp of the gospel and what you did for us, and that's why we don't praise you. We confess, oh God, that we have atheists in our student body, and we pray, God, that you would bust their hearts wide open to the reality that there is a God in heaven, that the heavens declare the glory of God. We pray, oh God, that you would hear these prayers. We pray for the coming election in the year 2000, and this year in the fall. We pray, God, that America would get the sovereign that you have selected. How many have a sin that they've confessed already? How many have a sin that they've confessed already? Lift your hand up if you've had a sin that you've actually confessed already, that you've confessed already. Amen. God Almighty, we thank you for the glory that your wrath can be turned away. We thank you, oh God, that Daniel proclaimed the doctrine of propitiation and the angel Gabriel showed us how God punishes sin through his Son, Jesus Christ. Bless the rest of the day in Jesus' name. Amen.